Bezrat Hashem, I've been slowly going through Bereishis Rabbah and the Midrash Rabbah. I started a year ago and now I'm on chapter 13. So on the very first part in chapter 13, the verse is saying, V'chol siach hasadi terem yibar, it's that all the vegetation of the ground was not yet sprouting in the ground. And this is talking on the sixth day of creation, when the first man was created, Adam Rishon. So immediately, of course, there's a question, because we know 3 days prior, on the third day of creation, Hashem already created, it says, the trees and the vegetation. So why are you telling me on day six that the vegetation had not yet grown? This is already discussed in the Gemara in Chulin, that Hashem, it says over there in the Gemara, and it repeats in the Midrash, that sure, Hashem created the plants on day three, but they were underneath the ground. They were underneath the ground, and Adam had to pray for rain, and then they grew out. But what I just saw was fascinating. That's not every opinion. There's another opinion that says, no, the vegetation created on the third day of creation was the holy vegetation and trees of the Garden of Eden. And on the other hand, the vegetation discussed on day six that had not yet grown out, that's talking about the vegetation of the rest of the world. Okay. So seemingly there are two different opinions that don't line up. One opinion is saying the reason the Torah is written this way is no, the vegetation was created on day three. It was just under the ground. And then it came out to reveal on day six. Versus another opinion seems to be arguing and saying, no, absolutely not. Day three of creation, there were for sure complete vegetation that was manifested. And in fact, the verse says it sprouted on day three. The vegetation of the trees and the vegetation. So he says, no, there was for sure a sprouting, a full sprouting out, not just something created under the ground, but a full sprouting out of vegetation on day three. But that was just a special vegetation. That was the vegetation of Garden of Eden. The other vegetation that had not yet sprouted, on day six, that was the vegetation of the rest of the world. So are these Rabbanan arguing? And we have a bigger question, actually, on the commentary that says the whole thing is talking about vegetation that was just created under the ground in potential and just didn't come out until the sixth day. But that seems to go against the verses that says on day three that those plants really sprouted. It says in the verses. So that opinion can say it means it was talking about the future, things that will sprout. First of all, let's back up though. Because we know that really when it comes to these things, Eilu ve'eilu divrei Elohim chayim, these things are both true. That's always the depth of Midrash. The depth of Midrash is to see, specifically when you have opinions that seem to disagree, and to realize that they're talking about the same thing on what's called different levels of erechin, different levels of context or relative value. So these two opinions are actually the same. Libi Omer Li. That this is the depth of it. The opinion that's saying that the plants of the Garden of Eden, the opinion that's saying that on the sixth day, the plants that were created on the third day had not yet sprouted out of the ground, those are the plants of the Garden of Eden. Meaning, when we talk about the Garden of Eden versus the rest of the world, right? Because one opinion saying, day three, plants were created, but only in the Garden of Eden. And the day six plants that had not yet come out, that's talking about the vegetation of the rest of the world. That is actually the same opinion as the one who says day three plants are plants that are created underground, so to speak, inside. And day six is when it comes out to appearance. What the depth of this is that I believe these opinions are actually speaking on the exact same opinion. Because the Garden of Eden, we know, in spiritual terms, is really a spiritual location located inside, spiritually speaking, a more exterior world. Just like the soul is, so to speak, interior to the body, and the body is more exterior, so too, the true Garden of Eden in the spiritual worlds of Bria and so forth. And there's a Garden of Eden in the center of every world. We know from Kabbalah. There's a Garden of Eden in Bria, which is the first world of creation, just below the godly light of Atzilus. There's a Garden of Eden in Yetzirah, which is the next world down. There's a Garden of Eden in Asiya. And the Garden of Eden is always located, as far as worlds, as far as the concept of space and world and location and environment, is always the most interior, holy, choicest place. That would be like similar to being interior to an outer realm. So that works perfectly. Now, when one rabbi says that the plants of day three are those that were sort of concealed underground, and another rabbi says, no, those are the plants of the Garden of Eden, it's the same point. Because the plants of day three, the plants of the Garden of Eden, are the spiritual roots of plants, and not just plants. Because when day three speaks about plants and vegetation, it's not just about plants. It's a deep concept. And always, always we ask the question, why is God creating plants and vegetation on the third day of creation when he didn't even make the sun, the moon, and the stars until the fourth day? And so these are not ordinary plants. Because we have to look at the days of creation according to the Sefirot. Because we know that the 7 days of creation, the 6 days of work, and then the Shabbos, they are representing the major six spherot. And really, the creation is divided into half. The first 3 days and the last 3 days. And this is very significant. The first day of creation is let there be light. This corresponds to the sphere of chesed, of kindness. Light, it's not just an ordinary light, because what is this light if it's not sunlight? So it's not sunlight. It's the light of existence. It's a light that gives existence. It's just everything. It's total kindness. It's in anything and everything that gives life. There's a hint to that, in that the sun, which is manifested on the fourth day of creation, the sun gives everything existence, it gives it life, it gives it light, and so forth. But the sun is only a physical vessel for this much greater light, which gives the whole universe existence, which is obviously larger than the sun. And that's just the physical universe. There are endless universes inside of this one that are spiritual, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. So that was the light of the first day. It's a light we've never seen, because it's called the Oregon, is the hidden light. But it's the light that gives everything existence. The whole universe as we know it, which is just a garlic peel, just a tiny shell encasing endless, deeper, more spiritual universes that are encased in that physical one. And the light of day one gives it all existence. day two was the introduction of separations into the creation. I'm not going to delve into that here. And day three now is plants, vegetation, but it's the deepest concept of creating specific shapes out of the fusion of life, light and dark, out of the fusion of presence and absence. When you look at a vegetation, and I've spoken this out before, you're looking at the power of growth coming from the sun, coming from water, coming from air. You're looking at the power of growth pushing out and struggling against the power that limits growth. Every tree isn't the same height. Every tree doesn't have the same lifespan. And this is deep now. The shape of each vegetation is a shape, is a presentation of a dance, or almost like a conflict between the force of growing out of the ground, pushing against a force that is trying to push it back down, such that the specific height of a tree and in the specific shape of its branches and the number of its branches and the health of its branches and so on and so forth, it's a picture of like almost of a dance between a force that pushes out, but a force that pushes versus a force that pushes against that growing out and pushes back on that growth. And when the two combine and twist together, you get the shape of the tree. That's what we're talking about on a deep level when we talk about day three. We're talking about how that light of day one, which gives total existence to everything, is coming into shapes, is coming into beautiful shapes when there's a pushback from the day two energy of severity and restriction and pushing back, which is called Gevurah. The result is a beautiful Tiferes. Beauty, plants are beautiful. And the beauty of it is all the amazing, endless shapes and varieties of the combination between the expansion of giving existence of kindness, being in a dance or a wrestling match with the force of severity, which pushes back against existence and pushes back against expansion, the resultant artistic shape almost is the beauty of growth, the beauty of vegetation, the beauty of the Garden of Eden, the beauty of the combination of the two. That's what we're talking about on day three. It's something beyond the sunlight, because the sunlight begins the second half of creation. Days 4, 5, and 6 is like the bottom half of creation. You have the first 3 days on top and the second 3 days on the bottom. Or you have the first 3 days on the inside of the universe and the second 3 days representing the outside of the universe. As the Chavir says explicitly, Rav Yitzchak Elazar Chavir says explicitly, quoting the Midrash, that on the fourth day of creation, Hashem took the light of day one and hid it inside the sun. Meaning there's a whole universe that's hidden from eyes, that's hidden from us. It's behind the sun, so to speak. It's inside the sun and inside the whole physical universe that we see with the Hubble Space Scope and so forth. That's the depth of this. So those trees, those vegetations of day three are so bright we can't see them. They're behind the sun. They're behind outer space. They're inside. They're in a spiritual layer inside of what we could ever see while we're on this physical existence. We can sense it. We can sense it when we're feeling very connected to Hashem. As the rabbis say, Olamecha tirei b'chayecha, you should see your world in your days. We sense it when we feel joy, spiritual joy, when we're learning the Torah very deeply. As there's a hint that there are 53 parshios, 53 sections of the Torah, and 53 in numerical value is gan. Gimel is 3, nun is 50. 53 is gan, the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is in the Torah. As the Baal Shem Tov, Zechuto Yegein Aleinu, explains that the light, the Or HaGanuz, the hidden light of creation, is hidden inside the Torah as well. And he probably says, such that we know, when we read the Torah is called the Eitz Chaim. The Torah is called the Tree of Life. Because just like a tree, it has its roots. The roots is the five books of Moses. And there's even deeper roots. The real deeper roots is the 6 days of creation. And then the deeper root is the first verse. And then the even deeper root is the first word. And then the even deeper root is the first letter. And then the even deeper root is that point inside the letter Bet that starts the Torah and so forth. And it's all growing forth. And then from the five books, we have the prophets. And then from that, we have the writings. And then from that, we have the Mishnah and the Talmud. And all the books and all the thoughts and all the conversations just growing out into beautiful, particular, unique expressions of Torah. And everyone has their portion in Torah. That's plants. That's vegetation. There's one more interesting hint about all this. So, again, the 4 days of creation and forward, days 4, 5, 6, is the other half of the coin of the universe, the exterior part, the realm of free choice. Because the commentary Eitz Yosef, interesting, it's called the Tree of Joseph, based on a certain portion of Tanakh. But he's saying, back to our original story. Back to our original story about these plants of the third day versus the sixth day. Something makes them very distinguishable. The plants of the third day do not need rain. But the plants of the sixth day require rain, require Adam to pray for rain. Now watch this. So rain is something that comes through our effort, through our prayers, through our requests, through our inspiration from below. Like we know that for clouds to form, there's an evaporation of water from the ground coming up, forming clouds, then coming back down as rain. This represents our prayers. Our prayers are like literally coming from our breath, which has steam, and it's like evaporation. It's an effort to request a response, and the response is rain. It's called the evaporation coming up. It's called feminine waters that are requesting to be fulfilled, to be filled, to be satisfied. And the rain is representing masculine waters. The response coming back down from heaven. Such that the Kabbalists say everything resolves into feminine and masculine waters. But the Garden of Eden doesn't need rain. Because the Garden of Eden is the source of blessing. It's those beautiful vegetation-like shapes of the light of day one, the light of all existence, the light of all bestowal of existence, coming into certain shapes that the Creator already made without our requests, before we were created, without needing our input. So now watch this. So then, this is the connection. The two points are intimately, inextricably linked. When Adam is praying for rain to make the other vegetation grow, the vegetation on the outside world, the vegetation of the world in front of the sun, the vegetation of the exterior world outside the Garden of Eden, outside those spiritual worlds of internal bliss that lie hidden inside the universe that we see, hidden from our eyes, inside, like the way the soul is hidden inside the body. So the whole universe corresponds to that format of an inner soul that is invisible, a whole soul world, and an outer body world that we see. The two types of vegetation are extremely fundamentally connected, because when Adam prays for rain, the rain is really carrying those inner spiritual plants of the Garden of Eden and pulling their energy and their form and what they're all about and pulling them down into an exterior world and copying themselves in the exterior world, the way that the child is an offshoot of the parent. Garden of Eden is like the parent, and the other plants are like the children. And Adam, he is the one, and humanity, we are the ones to bridge that gap and make that connection. That's the depth of these two midrashim. The depth of these two midrashim is that, again, day one is light, perfect light of bestowal of all existence. The Leshem is explaining that on day two, there was limits introduced to that all bestowal of existence, of light of existence, because there were negative things that Hashem created as potential negative things. As we know, negative things happen in the year 2022, and negative things have happened up until this point. And those negative things were created as possibilities. And so day two was an enforcement of not giving existence to those things from the Creator. The only people through their sins and mistakes would have the ability to do that. But Hashem's not going to do that himself. So day two is opposite of day one. It's pushing back on the light of just giving existence to everything indiscriminately. Day three combines the two. That's the thing, the beauty of vegetation, the beauty of the push and pull of the light of expansive giving of existence meeting up against the light of severe pushing back against that existence. Only what's perfect emerges. Only the shape of what's perfect emerges. And that's day three, and that's the perfection, the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is representing that the light of existence, of giving existence, is fitting only into the beautiful shape of what deserves it right now. And that picture of that combination is the beautiful fractal pattern of plants. And that's the light, these trees of light, these trees of spiritual light of existence of the day three vegetation of Garden of Eden. Adam is to take that Garden of Eden and copy it and express it and mamshich it and draw it down into the rest of creation, to perfect the rest of creation. That's the depth of what this midrash is saying. And we see hints of that in the holiday of Shavuos that we just had, as follows. The Leshem is saying that in the days of Messiah, every day of the week will be a holiday. Passover, every Sunday, every day one, will be Passover, because Passover lines up with undeserved, completely kind giving of existence, that way that Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt, made us into a nation where we basically didn't deserve it at all. All we did was we did a Passover sacrifice, we swore off idolatry, we promised to be Jewish, we gave ourselves a circumcision, and all right, we're a nation. And all the miracles are done for us. That's the light of indiscriminate kindness. Every Monday, every second day, which is the light of severity, is Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin, Day of Judgment, Day of Exact Scrutiny of Judgment, which is the energy of the second day of creation, which is the firmament that divides upper and lower, perfect and not perfect, and so forth. The third day of creation, says the Leshem, corresponds to Shavuot, Shavuot, the giving of the Torah. Shavuos. And there's this tradition that the Mount Har Sinai filled with plants and vegetation when Hashem gave the Torah, and the Torah is called the Tree of Life. And there's this tradition to decorate the shul with flowers. It's not an accident, because the energy of the Torah is these beautiful, perfect plants, this perfection of growth. Because see, here's the thing, another thing the Lashem is saying is, Hashem's plan comes to fruition, grows and develops like a plant, no matter what we do, whether we sin or do the mitzvah. So should you sin? No. Because when you do the mitzvah, when you do the good deed, you reap what you create. Versus when the person does the sin, he loses the opportunity to manifest that part of the Creator's plan, to manifest that part of the Tree of Life, to manifest that part of the evolution of the universe. You don't want to lose it. As it says, the tzaddik takes his portion in the Garden of Eden, and the portion, he also takes over the portion of the sinner. The sinner loses a part of his real estate in the Garden of Eden. And true tzaddikim forego it and try to help the wicked, so everybody gets their portion. A true tzaddik doesn't want to take over somebody else's portion, somebody else's parcel of real estate in the Garden of Eden, because he actually cares about the other. So the reason on Shavuos is the idea of the third day of creation, which is the idea of plants and vegetation, is to say, this is part of the thing you can grow. This is a field you can reap and sow. And not that it should happen and be taken away from you, because sin is letting go of the particular way I can manifest something beautiful, like a vegetation, like the beautiful way I can make growth happen in the world. Sin is giving in to letting go of that, being lazy, really. Sin is being lazy. By conquering our evil inclination, by conquering our passions and channeling our passions into holy intimacy, holy eating, holy work, holy making money, holy entertainment, holy joy, by channeling these desires, because these desires that we have are the desires of the universe. The universe wants to copulate. The universe wants to have children. The universe wants to eat. Things want to exist. The Yetzirah, the evil inclination, is an interesting phenomenon in our creation that wants to screw up that process. The Torah is saying, work hard to tame that beast and channel it into something holy. So, and it's interesting that when the Jewish people got the Torah, it was in the third millennium of creation. It's very, very interesting. It happened in the year 2000-something, which represents that there are 6,000 millennia. Or sorry, 6 millennia. 6,000 years of creation. 6 millennia corresponding to the 6 days of creation. Because each millennia is to bring out the general energies of the 6 days into the particular expressions in 6 different millennia. So the third millennia, when the Torah was given, the focus was on this third day of creation, of bringing out the Torah. And so it happened in the third millennia. One more interesting hint here is that the Leshem says, just to sort of round this out, okay, so every Sunday, every first day will be Passover, the energy of Passover. Every second day will be the energy of Rosh Hashanah, of justice. Every third day will be the energy of Shavuot, the trees of the Garden of Eden. Every fourth day will be Rosh Chodesh, because the new moon, the celebration of new months. Because the fourth day of creation was very significant in that it created time, it created a realm where, when you talk about time, day four was a very harsh day. It was the day the moon was minimized. It was really, Leshem says, the creation of an outside world. The creation of a world outside the Garden of Eden. The creation of a world outside of the perfection that Hashem set up by himself. And it would be a space where we would have to bring that perfection out into manifestation through effort, which takes time. That's why it's the day where time is created. So every fourth day, every Wednesday, will be Rosh Chodesh. then the holiday of Sukkot, but this is the most mysterious one to me. The holiday of Sukkot corresponds to the fifth day of creation, when Hashem created the birds and the fish and the sea creatures. But interesting, the sixth day of creation, when man was created, that corresponds to Shmini Atzeret, which is his own holiday, which is when we have Simchat Torah. So this is very interesting, because in the Kabbalistic system, day three is the sphere of Tiferes. It's the balance between the kindness of Pesach and the first day of light, and the severity of Rosh Hashanah and the second day of the firmament. The third day, which is this beauty, the beauty of Tiferes, of Shavuos, of the giving of the Torah, that's in what's called the middle line. The line on the middle line of synthesis that synthesizes the right side and the left side. Similarly, Shmini Atzeret, Simchat Torah, corresponds to the sphere of Yesod, the sixth sphere, which corresponds to the organ of procreation. It's also in the middle line. It's the part of the body that's between the two legs. The third day of creation, Shavuos, is corresponding to the heart, which is resting between the two arms. The sixth day, Simchat Torah, Shmini Atzeres, is corresponding to the organ of procreation, also on the middle line, of the middle of the body, this time between the two lower extremities. Fascinating. And they both celebrate the Torah. They both celebrate the giving of Torah. Because the Torah, why is the Torah in the middle line? Because the Torah is infinite. It's everything. It's the fusion of everything together. It's the fusion of all expansion and constriction. So a lot of beautiful things to think about, Bezrat Hashem.